Immigration is one of the biggest stories of the past year, or any year, really. And while our focus is largely on Latin American migrants who are facing the brunt of this administration's punitive policies, they aren't the only population getting caught up in the immigration detention system. So far in 2018, nearly 4,200 migrants arrested by the U.S. Border Patrol have been Indian nationals. That's compared to a little more than 3,100 in all of 2017. And it's something that Sarah Parvini reported on for the Los Angeles Times, and Deepak Aluwalia works with this population as an immigration attorney in both Texas and California. Sarah and Deepak, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Tansy.
So, Sarah, you recently reported on the number of Indian detainees held in three of these California facilities. How many people are we talking about, and why don't we hear more about this population?
So we're talking, depending on which facility in Southern California, anywhere from 20% of detainees being from India, or as many as about 55%, if you're looking at the Victorville prison where detainees have also been held. And so I think part of the reason that we haven't heard about this specific population a lot is just because, understandably, as you had mentioned, we have been focusing on Latin American communities that have really, really been struggling under this administration. We have the family separation issue. And so I think that, you know, other things just kind of fall under the radar.
And are we seeing an increase in the number of Indian migrants coming to the United States?
That's what I've heard from immigration attorneys anecdotally. And then when I have spoken with immigration officials as well, they said that this isn't something that is, you know, new within the last 6 months, but this has been an uptick over the last few years, actually.
And Deepak, you're an immigration attorney. What have your Indian clients been telling you about why they're leaving their country? Is there something that's prompting them to flee specifically?
Yes, Tanzina. So it's mainly been political persecution based on membership or their affiliation with a particular political party there. And a lot of my clients have been telling me that they do fear persecution from the current ruling party, which is the BJP, the National Governing Party in India. What I'm also seeing, which has been a current trend, is a slew of migrants coming in who are claiming persecution based on being members of the LGBT community, or simply fleeing the country because of fear of persecution based on their religion. I have Christian migrants coming in from South Asia, specifically India as well, who are claiming fear based on their religion.
And Sarah, in your piece, you talk about, tell the story of an Indian migrant from the northern state of Punjab. Can you tell us a little bit about what led him to the United States?
Sure. So when I spoke with him, and this was through an interpreter, he mentioned that on multiple occasions he had been attacked by people who claimed to be members of the government party, the ruling government party. And it's my understanding that, you know, after being attacked two times, they threatened him and said, you know, if you don't switch over, if you don't change your beliefs, the next time that we see you, we will kill you. And so his family, you know, being afraid that, you know, they might actually do this, decided to sell part of their farm and sell some of the gold that they had and find a way to get him to Mexico and then eventually get him to the United States.
And Deepak, I'm wondering if you could help us understand, why are these migrants being held in federal prisons?
Well, yes, Tanzina, that's actually a perfectly good question that leaves a lot of people scratching their heads. The agreement really comes between Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and BOP, Bureau of Prisons, which falls under the Department of Justice. They've actually long had an agreement, Tanzina, where they house immigration detainees at these private prison facilities. The reason we're seeing this more so now is because it's happening in larger numbers, and more so you're seeing that because of instances like what happened in Victorville or in Oregon, where there's been a number of different legal and human rights violations from, you know, anywhere from not providing them adequate access to food, cutting off access to legal counsel and not letting them meet with their attorneys, pretty much shutting them off from the outside world is what's really brought this to the spotlight.
And are those the kinds of abuses and other, what are some of the other challenges or conditions for migrants being held in these prisons?
Well, Tanzania, to start with, you know, these prison facilities are quite far removed from the general public, right? If we talk about Victorville, that's about 85 miles away from Los Angeles. It's quite a distance from a lot of immigration practitioners. The other challenge is, you know, prior to the lawsuits that were filed by ACLU and other organizations, we weren't able to even speak to our clients. Our clients were telling us that they weren't able to make phone calls out to their families or their attorneys. They were being told, for example, certain Hindus who were not or are not allowed to eat meat or beef as per their religious belief were told that that's all they have and that's what they're going to have to eat. A number of other detainees let us know that they were put in their clothes that they were arrested in for several weeks before they're given a change of clothes. So that's just a number of issues that or challenges that they've been dealing with just recently prior to this lawsuit being filed.
And I'm wondering if you could tell us between 2012 and 2017, about 42% of asylum cases from India were rejected. Do we have any sense of why and whether that trend will continue with this current population, Deepak?
Yes, Tanzina. So, I mean, in short, you know, the quotas that were implemented on the immigration judges by the Department of Justice, also a lot of people not being granted bond or release by ICE or the immigration court is what's leading to these number of denials. And in my opinion, I only see it growing with the current administration.
Sarah Parvini is a Metro reporter for the LA Times, and Deepak Ahluwalia is an immigration attorney. And I appreciate you both taking the time to be with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tanzina.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.